We'll be in Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. And our verses of emphasis tonight will be in verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19 will be our emphasis. Good to see everybody out tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And we'll get to that in just a second. But we discussed last week about the path of the wicked. We looked last week at the path of the wicked. We looked at that path. It is a path of contrary individuals. We looked at that. Many of us were on that path, but praise God, from whom all blessings flow, that He saved us from our own selves. We were contrary. We were all about ourselves and what we wanted to do, and didn't matter what anybody said. We did what we wanted to do, and God saved us from our own selves. Now that's something that I try to think about quite a bit, because it's very humbling when you think about it. Because sometimes we have a tendency to get a little bit prideful at times. And just to remember that God literally saved us from ourselves. Now, sometimes we still got a tendency, myself included, to start relying on ourselves again when God already saved us from ourselves. Anyway, this wicked path, it is a path that is full of unrepentant sinners. They hate God. They hate you. They have a father. Their father is the devil. I want to make something very clear. There's a group of people today that have the mindset that they have no allegiance to no higher power, but they're deceived. The devil being powerful and more powerful than you and I, he is a higher power, but the devil is not the supreme power. That is only reserved for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So to these people, I say, you are either of your father, the devil, or you are of your heavenly father. There is no other. Satan has his path and the wicked live on it. But I'm glad that this is not the only path that we have to tread. It is the biggest path. It has the most people walking on it. But it's not the only path, and I praise God for that. I'm glad that we also have the good path, the right path, the narrow path. Last week, we looked where we need to instruct our children not to walk. And this week, we'll be looking at where we are to teach them to walk in verse 18. And then in another look, there's a contrast once again to the path of the wicked in verse 19. But we'll be in verses 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, I want to thank you for this time we have in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered here. I ask you, Lord, to use me tonight. I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. There's much in this passage, and a lot of it has already been an encouragement to me. It's been a reminder to me, and I trust, Lord, that it'll come to that same end with your people here tonight. And we just ask you, Lord, to bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The good path has light. That's the first thing that we're going to look at about the good path, is that the good path has light. This is the first characteristic of the good path. There's light. Now, what lights up the good path? God does. His Word does. Jesus Christ does. Christ shining through us to the world. This path has light. See, the path of the wicked, it only has darkness. That's all it has. It only has darkness. This is why they're tripping and falling over all kinds of mess. This is why when they see something that glitters, they think it's gold and it's a life changer, but it ends up being a life ruiner. They don't have light. They cannot see. They are without wisdom. And wisdom on the good path lights up the way. So when the devil places a trap, we can see it. We can react to it accordingly. Now, also on the path of the just, we'll look at the word just. This was a conviction, or it was convicting to me. The word just means conformed to truth. This is another big difference on the good path. Now, there's light on the good path. Another big difference about the good path is there are just people on the good path. They are conformed to truth. As where the wicked, they rebel against truth. They stick their nose up to truth. They hate you, your God, and all examples of truth. They're contrary, and as we looked at it last week, they're contrary, and then they're stubborn about being contrary. But the just are on the good path, a much better group to be associated with. Now notice it don't say saved, it says just. I know a lot of Christians who are not just. They've not conformed to truth. We spent a lot of time on this before, on what just means. Conforms a powerful word. It's not just listening. It's not just hearing. It's not just reading. It's not just speaking. Many people hear truth, listen to truth, repeat truth, but they've not conformed to truth. Conform means made to resemble, assuming the same form, to make like. More generally, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence in manners, opinions, or moral qualities. See, many Christians, sadly, at times have not conformed to truth. You'll see that. You'll have folks, they've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, been in church their whole life, and sadly some of them have not conformed to truth. They've not been shaped into truth. When they conform to truth, and when we conform to truth, then we look like truth. We talk like truth. We walk like truth. We dress like truth. We act like truth. We go where truth would go. Their life lines up with truth because they have conformed their life to truth, which means when you see truth, you see them. And when you see them, you see truth. We should be this example. When people see us, it should be evident in our lives that we've conformed ourselves to this book. It should be evident. There's no gap. They line up. And we could all do better with this. There's not a person in this room, myself included, that every time we look at them or they look at me, that we are identical twins with this book. But we need to be. It should be our goal. It should be our goal when others see us. We want them to see this Bible. And when we read this Bible, we see examples of what this Bible is teaching all around us. Conform to truth. Think about molding. Think about injection molding or something. Picture truth being God's word. And we're so conformed to it that we come out of the mold shaped like Christ. Because we're so conformed to Him. That was quite a thought for me earlier when I was looking at that. I mean, just to be conformed to truth is a conviction for me. It's convicting. By the way, if parents are going to teach their children to conform their life to truth, parents need to conform their life to truth. As we said before, children would do what you do, not what you tell them to do. They may do both while they're at home. But when they're grown, they'll more than likely do what you do. They will do what we teach them, and our actions will speak louder to them than our words. The path of just. This means the path of conforming your life to truth. This path is as a shining light, it says. This means that they can see where they're going. Proverbs 4, again, 18 and 19, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Another nugget here that was an encouragement to me in this. I think we could all benefit from it here tonight. If you notice the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Sometimes we get more caught up in darkness that is increasing rather than the light that is also increasing. What is the perfect day? When we're in heaven, there'll be no more night. There will be no darkness of sin. Revelation 21 through 25, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This speaks to the perfect day. It will all be perfect. The new heaven and the new earth. It will all be perfect. This has encouraged me because the closer we get to heaven, the closer we get to being raptured up out of this mess that we have the audacity to call civilization, the closer we get to being raptured up out of here, the darker the night, the darker the spiritual darkness will be, and it don't take long to get in your car to go anywhere. You'll see the darkness. Darkness is everywhere. Spiritual darkness takes no vacation. It's not only during hours of darkness, it never sleeps. And what has encouraged me is that with darkness becoming more dark, Proverbs tells us that the light will also increase more and more until the perfect day. Now this light is not based on you and I as much as it would be who the light is. See, we are the spiritual minority. Most people are going to hell. That's a sad truth. I don't know how many times hell will be bigger than heaven. I don't know, but it will be. We know that it will be. Most will be in hell. And as we get closer to the perfect day, this world, this generation, and all of its wickedness will increase in numbers. We know that. There's going to be more wicked then there will be righteous. We will become even more of a minority than what we already are. The light has little to do with us. It is Christ living within us. We've heard the term, the darker the night, the brighter the light. I believe that even though God will have less people to reflect his light, the light that is present will be so evident due to the extreme levels of spiritual darkness, it will shine the brighter. This has encouraged me because as the world grows darker, the light burns brighter. We could look at current events and know that the light is burning brighter and brighter because it's getting darker and darker. This is on the good path. This is the path that you want to be on. On to verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. What this verse is telling us here is that the path that the wicked are on is full of darkness. This means they cannot see. And the Marines, that they taught us to make our maneuvers at night without lights. Somebody can see a light from a mile away, and you just don't want them to know that you're even a mile close to them. So you don't use practically any light, and if you do, you use a red light rather than a clear or LED or something like that. And even then, it was not very often. You want your eyes to adjust. And believe it or not, most nights you don't need a light. You could go outside and allow your eyes to adjust and maneuver around and about like that. But I was thinking about spiritual darkness and how dark it actually is, because they can't see at all. The wicked on this path, they can't see at all. So you go outside tonight. Now, it seems like it's even lighter during the summer at 10 o'clock, but then once it gets to about 11 or midnight, it gets a lot darker. But go outside when it gets dark, and then just imagine not even being able to see your hand in front of your face. This path that the wicked are on, they can't see. is darkness. This means they cannot see. Then it makes a powerful statement next. They know not at what they stumble. The best way to illustrate this, I was thinking, if we were to be placed in a living room, a room that is unfamiliar to us, and I decided to put in a room that's unfamiliar to us because all the lights out could be in my house. They could all be off, and I could maneuver around the house just because in my mind I know where everything's at. Okay, so I say unfamiliar to us. In a room that we are all unfamiliar with, one group of people walk into the room and the light is on. This would be the saved folks. They can avoid the end tables, the couch, the love seat, the recliner, the coffee table, the end table, anything that sticks out that wants to stump your toe. You can avoid every bit of that because the light is on. As where the other group, the lost that was placed in the dark room, they will stumble on all the above because they can't see it. They don't know it's there. Now, where this got convicting for me is, would you get upset at someone for stumbling over something in the dark? If not, then why do we get upset at someone who stumbles all the time spiritually when they're walking in spiritual darkness? They're walking in spiritual darkness. They don't see what we see. We're all in the same room with the same obstacles. The light is on for us, but they are in darkness. The same applies to out in the world. The light's on if you save, so you don't go down the liquor aisle and make purchases. You know what it is. You don't go into the CD aisle and buy garbage to play in your truck or your car. The light's on. But the light is off for another. The light is off for the world. The light is off for those that are walking on that wicked path, and they don't see it. But as our verse says, they know not at what they stumble. I've dealt with many in the RU program that have enough of them to understand that they keep falling and that they're laying down on the ground, essentially, spiritually. But it's too many things for them to identify. And truly, it comes back to this one thing, this one person, Jesus Christ. He will turn the light on for you. And for them, he lights the way. He places warning signs all around. We need to catch this tonight, and it will help us in our dealings with others. It'll help us better explain it to our children also. We need to make sure when they leave our house that the light's on, that they're saved. We need to make sure of that. We need to make sure the light's on. If the light's not on, they're roaming in darkness on the path of the wicked, and they're going to stumble over all kinds of mess. They're going to find everything in that room because the light's off. And the devil's going to put stuff there. If the light's off, you can't see what the devil's putting there right in front of you. You can't see it because the light is off. And the devil's always going to put something in the darkness of that path for them to trip on, for them to stumble on. It's always going to be there. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I love this next verse. I don't know what it is about it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'm thankful that God's still sending men into the darkness to be a representative of his light. Verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Deals with light in this passage. It also deals with darkness in this passage. It deals with the world not comprehending the light, not understanding the light. It also says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, meaning they resisted him. They resisted the light. They rejected the light. Now, in order for darkness to remain dark, it needs power to remain unchanged. The devil is that power. He is powerful. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And you might ask, well, why would he blind them? It says it in our verse, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why he blinds them. This is what he does not want. This is more than being a trickster. This is more than just being a prankster or up to no good with shenanigans, etc. The devil has power. And with his power, he has blinded the minds of man, and only Christ is able to break them free. There's been many a times where I've been dealing with people and they were just so close to freedom. So close to freedom. But wouldn't allow God to do it. They wanted me to do it. Wanted somebody else to do it. They wanted a book back there on the RU table to do it. God has to do it. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Christ delivered us. And we were all under the power of darkness before we got saved, and we were delivered by Jesus Christ. He hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The god of this world is the devil. He has power. He's at the top of this hierarchy. Think about Job. God allowed Satan to tempt Job. Satan had the power to turn Job's life upside down. If you think the devil don't have power, look at what he done to Job. His children dead, animals dead, left with nothing hardly at all. The devil took nearly it all. About all Job had left was his wife, and even she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Job didn't feel like he had a friend in his corner. Satan has power. The people who are in darkness and held captive under his power, they are his victims. The devil and his demons will be in hell for all eternity. There's nothing they can do about that. But they want the world to go there with them. They want to keep them there. I've seen this on visitation. You go to somebody's house. I've said this many times. You go to somebody's house. You go there to share the gospel with them. The devil's there before you get there. The reason why is he lives there. Him and his demons, they live there. You get there, phone starts ringing, baby screaming, kids start fighting, dog runs out the door, cat uses the restroom on the floor. Then they don't have time for you. They ask you to leave. It's not a good time. I've been told it's not a good time a lot. It's just not a good time right now. A win for the devil, at least for the time being. Nobody can convince me of the lack in the devil's power. He's got power. He blinds the world. They're in darkness. They're stumbling all over his vices, all over his schemes. The path of the just is much better. It's light. We took somewhat of a dark turn over the last few minutes, but it's reminded us of light. It's also reminded us of the path of the just. It's reminded us that we would be stumbling all over mess if we were not saved and living in the light where we can see. I'm thankful for the light. I'm thankful that I can see. I'm thankful for that. Because there was a time where I was rejecting the light. I was rejecting that light in my life and choosing to go my own way. And you know what? The Lord did not remove the light completely from within me, because then that would mean He completely left me and we don't lose our salvation. But the light was not as bright. And He allowed me to stumble over some stuff to wake me up. Would you rather a couple of night lights in the sanctuary at nighttime, or do you want all the lights on? You're going to find some stuff with just a couple of night lights on. You're going to find some stuff. And I found some stuff. But the Lord drew me back to the path of the just as I began to conform to truth. I encourage everyone to stay on the path of the just and have the wisdom to avoid some things. Because everybody in here, there's nothing more that would make the devil happy than us to go and step on a landmine spiritually that he's set out right in front of us. He don't want us serving God. He don't want us coming to church. It's amazing. So sometimes we think that we don't, that our lives just don't affect anybody else. That's a lie from the devil. He wants us to sit down. He wants us to not pay as much attention to our testimony. He wants us to think that we can do something and somebody won't see it and they won't be hurt by it and they won't be affected by it. But somebody's always watching. You might think there's not even that much that you do around here. You might think that. But your neighbors know that every Sunday you leave for the house of God. And if the devil could just get you sitting at home, if he could just get you sitting at home, he's already got it. He's already won a big battle. You've lost part of your testimony in the neighborhood. I mean, that's just one simple way as we would see it. But people watch our lives. People watch our testimonies. And what people think of us, some people say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That's your testimony, what people think about you. That's your testimony. Now, I'm not saying that you care more about what people think than what God thinks, because that's obviously not the case. But what people think of you, that's your testimony. Paul said it's a small thing, the judgments of man. He said it was a small thing, not of no thing. It was a small thing. It was a small thing. And it's our testimony. And we need to teach our children these things and be reminded of them ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we want to thank you for this time that we've had in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the path of the just. I thank you, Lord, that there's light on it. Many of us in here, Lord, can testify to the times that we were on the path of the wicked. And we found all kinds of stuff on that path, and it was no good for us. It caused a lot of heartache. It caused a lot of pain. And sometimes we still remember, and sometimes we still go back to our times on that path with the wicked. And we just thank you, Lord, for delivering us from that path and placing us on your path where there's light and where there's wisdom so that we can avoid some things. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for that work. And we ask you, Lord, to continue that work. We ask you, Lord, to keep that light getting brighter and brighter as the day gets darker and darker. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.